both of us live leaves us so little to give. If I could grow wings, I would do anything just to keep you with me. Can't you see? If I could fly high, I would give you the sky. Don't you make that mistake. What does it take? Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I've been delinquent. And I don't really know why. I mean, yes, I had some relatives come in and visit. And I've been keeping up with the regular podcasts, but this one I've sort of put on the back burner for some reason. And it could be that I usually record these on a Friday and I've been working late on Friday, so it could be it. But I'm starting to fall behind, and I wanted to tell you some of the back issues I bought. I got X-Men 44. It says X-Men featuring the Angel. Red Raven, Red Raven. Come over, Red Raven. And Cherry Deluxe. I had a Cherry Pop-Tart full run, but I didn't have this deluxe in this issue. It's written by, the first story is written by Neil Gaiman. So how about that? Doctor Strange 178. Every time I get a chance, I always try to fill my holes with Doctor Strange. I got quite a ways to go. I got a 10th center. Rip Hunter Time Master number 3. I got a couple of... I'm proud of my Valiant collection. I have every Valiant Universe comic book published from, you know, the Jim Shooter years to the Acclaim years and then to the new Valiant years. But I never had anything prior to that from Valiant, which was Wrestling Comics and Nintendo. Well, I added a couple of Game Boy, Nintendo Comic System featuring Game Boy number 1. And then I had Game Boy number 1 and 3 from Valiant Comics. And Super Mario Brothers Special Edition. So it's actually my first comics in that area of Valiant. I've always tried to get them, but they're kind of obscure and they're kind of high priced and kind of hard to get, but I had an opportunity to get some and I did. I have from Marvel Comics Chamber of Darkness number 1. I had received prior to that the Conan prototype that's in the Chamber of Darkness. And when I mean Conan prototype, I don't mean like prototype before Conan was in the magazines by the original creator. What I mean is it's the Marvel Conan prototype. They did a Conan prototype before it was released as Conan, and it had the same creative team, Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor Smith. We have Tales to Astonish number 58. This is an Ant-Man and Wasp issue. We have Superman number 240. I pride myself in having every action comic in Superman prior to 1973, but anytime I could get anything prior, I take advantage of that. And this one here is a Neil Adams cover, and it has Superman crying on the cover, and he's looking at the screen and saying, he's looking at the Daily, holding the Daily Planet, says Superman fails. And he says, one failure, and you forget all the good I've done. You miserable ingrates, I'm through with you. Where Monsters Dwell, number 28. So, we got Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, number 28. That's another run I'm trying to finish, that and Web of Spider-Man. From Eros Comics, we have Wally Wood's Canon number 1. This something I'm way late to the game on, but man, it looks beautiful, I'll tell you that. World's Unknown number 1 from Marvel Comics. War Man from Marvel Comics, Heavy Hitters, Epic Comics. by Chuck Dixon. And there's only two issues of that. And I got my first Verotic Glenn Danzig comics with Death Dealer 1 through 4. I do have some Verotic reprints of Phantom Lady, but not anything in that realm proper. I got Conan 241. This one I got. I'm trying to finish my Conan collection, and this one I got because it had a Todd McFarlane cover. And then I don't have 242, but I recently picked up 243, and that's a Whals Pertacio cover. So during this run, they were all at Marvel, and in the middle there is a Jim Lee. So you got 241, Todd McFarlane, 242, Jim Lee, and 243, Whals Pertacio. So yeah, that's pretty incredible. I don't have any old Masters of the Universe comics because I do have the one that appears in DC Comics Presents, but I don't have the Star Comics, Marvel's Star imprint. It has a Masters of the Universe, the motion picture number one, and I have Masters of the Universe number one proper from Star Comics. And that wraps up that. And then other than that, I've been getting a ton of Conan comics from my local LCS, filling in the back half of the Conan. I have a lot of the first half. I have like 1 through 7. I'm missing a few in there, from 8 to, I don't know, 11, and then I'm missing some in the 30s. And then I have like a great run until like 100 and I don't know, 19. And then I have some sporadic issues, and then past 200, I didn't have much. Well, I am feeling a lot of that 200, and higher, at the local LCS. So I'm working on trying to get a full run. Even though I have the Epic Collections of Conan and the Omnibus of Conan, I will have the singles. Just some recent Kickstarters. I got Mahari 1 through 3 from Evolution as a Kickstarter. I'm like trying to get all their books. I got the Crude Knight 1 through 4, and I had to do a double take on it because when I got the package 1 through 3, when I ordered it, I wanted to get 1 through 4, and I was like, what's going on? I only got issue one. In issue four, so I was gonna send an email to him back. But in issue one, he combined all the issues 1 through 3, and I didn't know that until I started to open it and look at the input page that said parts 1, 2, and 3, and then I have part 4. It's a weird size of a comic, like it's super huge. And it's standard comic size, and it doesn't have a square bound, but it looks like it needs it. I got Jump Chapter 1. Looks pretty cool. And Luminous Number 1. I don't even remember ordering that one, but that came in. Also, some. And that Chamber of Darkness, by the way, it was Chamber of Darkness number 4 with that Conan, the Marvel Conan prototype. I got Strange Tales 187. I wonder if I inventory these. I thought I did. I need to find out if I have a full run of Fantastic Four, the world's greatest comic magazine. That is the Eric Larson 1 through 12, and I've been trying to get as many Eric Larson comics as I possibly can. So let me check that in the database. Fantastic Four, the world's greatest comic magazine. What? I have it all. Wow, how about that? Wait, let me just check. Yeah, I have a couple of nines. So I have a full run of that now. Yay! That is cool. And I didn't realize there was a hardcover. I might have to go after that. But I have to reunite these ones that I got with the rest so I can read it as a whole. And you have writers like Eric Larson and Eric Stevenson and Bruce Timm writing on some of these issues. And then you have like Eric Larson, Ron Frenz, Frank Fosco, Al Milgrom drawing it, Paul Ryan, Keith Giffen. It's gonna be a real treat. So I finished that run. I'm pretty happy about that, 'cause anything Larson, I just eat up. And then it was just a bunch of Conans. And then I went back this last week and bought some more Conans. I still need to inventory. And last but not least, I've been listening to Rob Servations, the podcast. And I was loving the Heroes Reborn, and I was reading along Captain American Avengers as I was going through the podcast. I was learning a lot of crazy shit, and the timing of everything that happened, Marvel's bankruptcy. Well, first Marvel was acquiring all this stuff, you know, like Toy Biz and Heroes World, their own distributor, Panini for cards, and all kinds of different stuff. They were going nuts. In terms of acquisitions, and they overextended themselves. And during that time, that's when they wrote these 3-point-so-million-dollar contracts each to Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld to do these comic books. And I always wondered why Rob dropped out at issue 6 on his 2 books. And now I know, and I think you guys should check it out. It's really fascinating. And then that led into, at the end of that, he wanted to acquire the rights to Fighting American. And at that time, Jack Kirby's dead, and Roz was letting Joe Simon handle all that. And he couldn't come into agreement with Joe Simon on the price. They couldn't, like, negotiate. So Rob said, "You know, I'm going to make my own Echo character. I'm going to call it Agent America for Awesome Comics." And he put it out there, and it came in like with it was an ash can, and it's just an advertisement. And I had to buy it. I found out it existed, and it's just ads for Agent America, the Coven, Rejects, and everything from there. But both Marvel and Joe Simon found out about it and sort of put a cease and desist on it. But Joe Simon worded like, "Well, let's renegotiate and do Fighting American." Well, they got that to happen. They got Fighting American to happen, and I have all the Fighting Americans comics already. Want to reread them, but finding them will be a bitch. And that was gonna happen. So he's and what I really think happened, he doesn't go into this, but Rob was enjoying doing Captain America so much, and it just so coincidentally he mentions in the podcast that he was gonna do the first 6, and then he was gonna go over to Avengers, and then he was gonna have Steve Platt take over the art duties on 6 through 12. Well, it's just coincidence that this Fighting American's drawn by Steve Platt, and it has a Bucky and a Cap just like that. But anyway, it went. They put a, I guess a another cease and desist Marvel Comics, and took him to court. Except they did it with like a day notice, like, "Here, we're gonna put a restraining order on you releasing this comic book." And he had I can't remember who he had go down there. I think it was, I can't remember, but he's at Top Cow now. I just lost his name, but he went over there and they defend with the lawyer, because Rob was involved with this corp, this rich guy was involved with Awesome Entertainment, and he got a lawyer to, one of his lawyers in New York, just to stand up right away, and they took information with them, and they won, and Marvel couldn't put any restraints. And then they said, "Well, we'll take away the shield," and that didn't even work. So he just couldn't throw the shield. That was the only restriction out of that whole, because they did have to go to court eventually. The judge on the that was doing the restraining order said, "Hey, you'll have to take this to court, and I'm not gonna do a stop, but this is gonna have to go to court," and expedited it. But anyway, I got this ash can, and it cost me a pretty penny. I spent $60 on it, and I also bought a Fighting American action figure that Lee Liefeld did. He did an action figure for Fighting American, Profit, and Shaft, and I went and bought the Fighting American. And then he was talking about a autobiographical story by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby about Fighting American, and I don't have that, so I ordered that as well. Two of them I haven't received yet, but I did get the Fighting or Agent America ash can. So that's the story behind that. And I highly recommend the podcast. It talks about Jim Lee trying to acquire Marvel during the acquisition, and I never paid attention to the timing, but Jim Lee left Image around the same time that Rob did. So you always hear about Rob and how the Image guys kicked him out, and he really didn't get kicked out. He was planning on leaving with his Maximum Press and Marvel things, and even had one of the Image guys draft up a letter. So there's just some really fascinating facts in there, and highly recommend you listen to it because it's more entertaining than listening to me talk about it. But yeah, I've been enjoying that, and I've been listening to Bright Side Chat, the comic book edition. I don't listen to the movie stuff. I've just never been into that. My podcasts have to be comics. Like, I don't, except for, with the exception of Nerdy Legion, they could talk about vegan food and fixing a toilet, and I'll still listen to it. But that's pretty much the only exception to the rule of podcasts outside of comic books. I just love to listen to comic books or things like that. So I added that to my list. I drop some podcasts. I drop Comic Book Page because they changed their format because of COVID. And then they never went back to their old format. Now they do like a monthly comic spotlight, but I just moved on. I'll still listen to the Preview Spotlight. But that's what freed up a lot of podcasting. And there was a couple other podcasts that even Nerdy Legion seems to be putting out less frequent. So I've been able to pick up some additional podcasts and still listen to everything I was listening to before. And oh, I'm listening to Contest of Challengers too, which is a comic book shop podcast. But those are the ones that I'm really caught up on, and then I've fallen a little bit behind on my 11 o'clock comics, but I should be caught up soon. It's a lot of walking, and I can be caught up. I'm gonna turn on my phone so I could see when Barb is coming, and then I can wrap this up. But that's about it. That's what I've been up to. That and a lot of Netflix. I finished October Faction, which is based on an IDW comic by Steve Niles, and that was really good. I really enjoyed it. That was like my exercise podcast, where I go on the elliptical before work and usually watch podcast. I finished that, and then I moved on to I was just scrolling around Netflix, and I saw a little picture of Teenage Bounty Hunters, and I said, you know what? I read the premise, and I said, that looks interesting. So that's what I'm watching now. And then on top of that, Barb and I, the one that we were watching together, is Cobra Kai, and we just, man, we marathoned like 3 episodes a night for a while, and it was an amazing series. It was sort of predictable early on in the episodes, but you wanted that to happen. Like, you could kind of see where it was going, but it was like where you wanted it to, being a Karate Kid fan, it's where you want it to go. And, but that last episode was, it was flooring, and it wasn't where I wanted it to go, but it was a pretty devastating season two finale. Oh my God. And, I don't know what I'm going to go to next, but I've been enjoying for a while there. I was on Amazon Prime just oh, I know what I want to go to next. It's The Musketeers finally released. The BBC show was finally released on Amazon Prime, and I started watching that on BBC America, but with season two, and I never caught season three. And I love The Musketeers. That show was highly addictive, so now I'm going to be able to watch season one, two, and three, because I can't tell you how much I love the Salkind and or you know the Superman producers did the Three Musketeers and the Four Musketeers. They did like four movies of those same actors, Michael York and Richard Chamberlain and Raquel Welch, and man, just such a good movie, and that got me hooked to all the Musketeers. So I watched the Charlie Sheen Musketeers. I watched the steampunk Musketeers. I watch all the Musketeers, and I love them. So I'm looking forward to getting into the Musketeers. And last but not least, I think I'll cover a couple of weeks of comics. I got real behind for a while there. I thought I was gonna catch up, but it doesn't look that way. Yeah. Every time I get close, it just get farther and farther away. But hopefully, maybe I'll do two this weekend, and I'll record 4 weeks, and that'll get me to a certain point. But I'll be right back with some comics. All right, I am back, and we're gonna talk about July 20th through July 26th. And that week we had a total of 25 comics, 10 Marvel and 15 DC. We'll start at the 4 out of 5s. There were only 4 out of 5s and 5 out of 5s that week. I was in good mood. But what did we have? We had Amazing Spider-Man, Sin's Rising, Prelude. It was the backstory of Sin Eater. We had Amazing Spider-Man 44, as Peter has some really bad dreams involving Overdrive, and then MJ because of Kindred. Overdrive is the villain that drives the car, and Kindred is that one creature with all those like centipedes that are all over him. Star Wars Doctor Aphra. It's kind of like the search for the Lost Ark, like a Raiders of the Lost Ark in space. And she teams up with an old friend, and there is a student that's trying to unite these two doctors to go after this artifact. And it gets pretty big. Emperor Hulkling, it's the backstory of Hulkling and why he's leading the Kree and the Skrulls. And it stars his lover Wiccan. Empire Avengers number one, we had Scarlet Witch, Dr. Voodoo, Kazar, and others go to the Savage Land to protect the Kotati, and to protect against the Kotati attack, and find they are now in control. They now control Sheena and Man-Thing. So it's an interesting, very interesting group of characters for sure. Fantastic Four number 21. While the FF join the Kree and the Skrulls, Franklin and Valeria have to take the two kids to Earth and try to ask for help from Wolverine and Spider-Man. And big question: does Wolverine accidentally kill the little Skrull girl? Because some claws go through her later on. We have Empire Fantastic Four number one. The FF ran out of fuel. I need to gas up at a casino world led by the Profiteer. They find there are two children, which we just talked about, a Skrull and a Kree, that are like on these infinite fights to the death every day. Valeria and Franklin start gambling to try to win money to get them off of the planet, and their mom helps them cheat so they can get the fuel and save the two kids. And that led into Fantastic Four 21. We have Empire X-Men, Angel M, and Iliana go to negotiate into a negotiation, and then are deployed to Genosha, where the Kitati are controlling the dead mutants because Scarlet Witch brought them back to life. It's pretty interesting how that all happened with the no, and it links into the No More Mutants kind of thing. We have Empire 1 and 2. The Avengers were fooled into protecting the Kitati as the on the moon, and are is it being invaded by the Skrulls and the Kree, led by Hulkling. So they think they need to protect the moon and the Kitati, but the Kitati tricked the Avengers, and they took advantage of them. We had Batman 74 through 85, which was the City of Bane. This really was a good wrap up. Like, I gave it a 5 out of 5. All those others were 4 out of 5s. I don't know if it's because I waited, because I wasn't liking Tom King's Batman, but I found, like, if I read it in chunks, I was enjoying it more. So I would, like, save it up and then read it. And I gave it a 5 out of 5. I really dug where this went. I guess the thing I'm not crazy about in that is that they killed Alfred. That's the big thing. But it really was a good story, and it's kind of like the redemption of Gotham Girl, and there's a lot of stuff in there that's really, really good, and it involves a lot of characters. Catwoman, of course. Joker, Riddler, everybody, because Bane is kind of like pulling their strings. Well, you can never pull Joker's string, of course. Weird Western 12 through 14. This is the Hex is chased out of town and finds out leaders of a white town brought the smallpox to Native Americans. He tries to save the little girl, but she dies, and the wolf she has goes with Hex. He just calls that dog, kind of like in the Hex movie. Hex then meets an old friend that thought that taught him how to shoot, and someone is after his land and uses the old man's son to kill his father and take the land, and Hex kills him. Hex's dog is bit by a rattlesnake, and he takes it into the town and has the doctor take care of the dog. There wasn't a vet. He just takes it to the doctor. He is ambushed and left to die in the desert, but Iron Jaw, the wolf, saves him and then dies because it was pretty amazing. Iron Jaw was bit by the rattlesnake and still stick at the doctors trying to get cured. But somehow he could sense this Hex was in trouble, and he literally crawled over there and bit he was gonna they left him to die in the desert, and he chewed the ropes and freed Hex. And Hex hunts down the two men and leaves one to die from a rabid cougar bite. Really spectacular. I read these in hardcover, but I do own these issues as singles. The next batch of comics, I didn't record any summaries for, so I'm gonna go by memory. I've been playing with this idea of not using summaries and sometimes using summaries, and I like doing summaries because it helps me remember more when you write it up. But on the same time, I don't like doing summaries because I'm lazy and I'd rather spend more time reading or doing other things. But it was a good week that week. I had 44 comics, one Vault, one Storm King, one Image, five Kickstarters, 18 DC, one Boom, one Archie, and one Alliance. That's probably Barb saying she's on her way. Let's see. Come on. No, not yet. Was a news alert. And one Alliance. We'll start with the three out of fives. We had Wind, spelled WYND, number one from Boom. It was a really nicely put together comic. It just didn't hit the strides for me, and Wind was very little in it. It was more about the surrounding characters. I don't know, it just didn't click with me too much. And then I went to a Chuck Dixon Kickstarter called Ravage, and it's sort of about these two guys that land on an Amazon man-hating island. And I liked it, but I'm not too sure I'm going to continue with it. But I guess it just depends on what's happening in Kickstarter and if I decide to go for it. We got Tony Osmond as a movie star, number one. This was Tony Osmond sending me the Atomic Hercules batch of comics that was originally lost in the mail. And he sent me this along with it. And this is a crazy story about a really crude movie star. Really crude. Kind of like an Andrew Dice Clay, I guess you could say. We had Lost Soldiers, number one. This is an Alex Cott. I kind of like it, but it didn't flow well, and it was so dense, and the opening scenes didn't work for me. But I still enjoyed it, and that's why I gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. Tales of the Science Fiction Vortex. That was interesting science fi. And then I realized there's another vortex, but I don't think it's related. But it's sort of like this guy's like frozen in time, kind of like a Captain America, and he's rescued. And one of the girls that is there for the rescue was a little girl when he was on the ship prior, and now she's a grown-ass woman. And so it's like a man out of time, and he was fighting a like this alien virus, and now that alien virus is being injected into people's veins as like a healing factor. And he's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" It's very, it's a good story. Get into the 4 out of 5s, Bleed Them Dry. That is about a buddy cop, a female and a male cop getting put into a vampire conspiracy, and he's a vampire and he's really not a good cop. He's manipulating things that are happening. And she gets bit at the end. We have Batman Annual number 4. I don't remember what that one was, to tell you the truth. I think it was an Alfred issue, but it wasn't as sentimental as I wanted it to be, because it was like an issue. Oh, Alfred's dead, let's reminisce. And it was kind of like Batman having adventures with Alfred over time, if I remember correctly. Archie Blue Ribbon presents Free Comic Book Day number 1. We had Atomic Hercules. That is about an event on Earth that causes everything to go to shit, and a demigod's left, and he's fighting robots with dicks, and it just gets insane. But it's got like a Kirby-esque feel with a real sense of humor. Like if you like American Barbarian, I think you dig it. If you liked the art, kind of looks like the Alex Zeicht or Zert. Or whatever his name is that does Space Raiders for Black Mask. If you like that, I think you'll dig this. I came home on a Friday and it was a really good decompression, just to decompress and just laugh. We had Flash Forward 1 through 6, and it came out with an unreleased Free Comic Book Day release. That's really why I got this trade. And I read Flash Forward, and it was really good. I thought it was better than the Tom King Heroes, the book that spawned out that Wally West was the behind the deaths of several characters. Why can't I think of the name? Heroes. I want to say Heroes, but I'm thinking Image United. Can't remember what it's called. We had Surfer Girl number one. This was a Kickstarter about a very naive girl, and she gets manipulated several times by different people into having sex. But it has like a. It's vulgar and crude, but it has like this weird sense of humor, and the story beats are really flowing, and it was really entertaining and funny in some parts, even though you're rooting for this girl, and you're like, why are you so stubborn? Why are you falling for these things? We have Green Hornet number one from Dynamite Comics. This was the had the Lee Weeks cover on it, and it was by Scott Lobdell. And man, it was good. And the artist, I can't remember the name, but I'm gonna look it up for you. It is done really, really cool, and it's done in like green and grays. It's incredible in the coloring. Green Hornet should be the Dynamite Fourth Edition, and it is Anthony Marquis, and a really great art. I really love it. Bass Reeves continues the story of the Western true character. He was a real character, and now they're telling stories, whether those stories are fiction or loosely based on fact, I don't know, but I do know sort of what this character is based on, and this one has to do with him just being a bounty hunter and retrieving a bunch of bad guys, and then coming home and finding out his son is doing some crazy things like get caught stealing and stuff like that, and he's having to deal with his son, and the mother's protecting the son because he's like he just misses you and that kind of stuff. But I don't know if Bass really no can deal with it. Like he's trying to deal with that. We got Chew number one, which is continue. It's Chew number one, continued from Chew Chew, and this is the sister of that detective Chew in. This is like she's the opposite of him. She has the same abilities sort of, but she's a bad person. She's with thieves and crooks and stuff like that. So that's the catch to that. Bliss number one is about a drug, and it deals with three generations of characters, a father, the son, and the grandfather. And a drug that makes people forget. So it makes it look like the, I don't remember if it's the grandfather or the father, but is a bad person, but he takes this drug that makes him forget. So he doesn't know he's a bad person. So it's very strange. Really enjoyable. I wasn't planning on buying Chew or Bliss, but picked him up at the shop just out of curiosity because I was trying to cut back that month and ended up adding all those two books to my list again. We had Eclipse 1 through 6. That was a sci-fi about the sun, and they have to wear these special suits to go out in the sun, and it's like a mystery about murders that are happening and a potential being that doesn't ha that might not is resistance to going out in the sun and doesn't need a suit, and he appears to be murdering people. It was really, really good. Really good sci-fi story. That was the 4 out of 5s. Then we get to the 5 out of 5s. We had House of Mystery, number 178, 179. This is like an anthology of horror stories. 5 out of 5, just because they just hit every story beat. They were all like the Twilight Zone they had, or Tales from the Crypt, and it looked artistically beautiful. Batman 86 through 93 is the prelude all the way up leading to the War of J Joker, the Joker War. And Mantinian hit the ground running, and he introduced lots of characters. You get Punchline. I forget what the one character is. He's the main bad, and I still don't understand like how he. I think his name is the Architect, but there's like three other characters that he created as well, and they're all fascinating. And there's a lot of moving parts in this story arc, and he's going at a pace that's really fast. And it's not as decompressed as Tom King, so he's like changing the momentum of the book. And it seems to be getting people really excited for the book, like people just drawn in, and this is during COVID. They just had to have their Batman. That Texas Blood, another book that I was gonna write off. And I was actually listening to the Brightside chat talk about it, and it made me curious. And I picked it up because it's Sean Phillips' son drawing it. And I read it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is. It starts off like. It's kind of like an old cop in his 70s and in a small town. And the story beats are just awesome. And then it turns into like this mystical thing, and as there are ghosts and all this other stuff, and it's, I just got sucked right in. I loved it. And then last but not least is Shotgun Wedding 1 through 4 is a black and white Image comic that was released as a weekly, if I remember correctly, and it was from Minotaur Press, and it's a story about. Kind of like a bounty hunters, you know, they work for agencies to, they don't necessarily hunt people down, but they do the dirty. They get hired to kill people. They're hit people, hitmen. And one is the guy and one is the girl. And it turns out the girl, the woman, they get captured by the bad guys. And this is kind of like the crux of the situation. And she loved him like she just loved him to bits. And the bad guy's gonna kill the guy. And she said, "Don't kill him, and I'll do anything you ever need." And she gets pulled into the bad side of things, and the guy gets to live. And later on, he's getting married. He was supposed to marry this other hit woman. And it gets really convoluted and twisted. But it was done for the right reasons, but it just turned things. Like she became evil. And it really wasn't her fault because she saved the other hitman. So it was a really spectacular story. 5 out of 5. I want to thank you for listening. And hopefully, I will get caught up at some point. If I do two more soon, I will make some progress. And I had a couple of quick weeks, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Matter of fact, I did something wrong. Oh, because Monday was a holiday. It was throwing me off. I have to add Ant-Man number 4 because I did read Ant-Man number 4. And that was really good. That was told through an ant's perspective initially. And I really enjoyed it. That was probably the best issue of the series to date. But thank you for listening. You can reach me. And send me feedback or questions on the Twitter. That's the best way to do it. You can IM me there at Mike Myers Brunch, and that's MYERS. And you can also reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. What else do I got? Facebook. You can go to Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button, and follow all the episodes there of Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner. Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, What is the other one I'm doing? The Kickstarter podcast. I forget what I call it. It's like Mike M's CCP, CC Pod or something like that. I can never remember the acronym. I made it too damn hard. CC Pop. That's what it's called. And I have one coming up with an actual interview. And I don't do those very often, but it's Andrew Peepoy. And those close friends that know me know I love Andrew. And I spend a lot of time with him at conventions. So you can look forward to that. And last but not least, DC Spotlight with me and Kyle. And DC Everything Else podcast with Kirk, Joe, and Rob. Almost had a brain fart there. I'm getting old. But the other day I couldn't remember this acronym. I was talking to some guy and it was like playing a thing of charades. I was trying to get the right acronym out. Sounds like, all this and all this crap. And 'cause I couldn't remember it 'cause I'm working on four different projects and I find that really hard, especially at my age. But it's like, 50, 20, 15 and then 15 and then whatever's left, 25 or 15, 10 and then 25%, and it's weird, and sometimes all the projects start to merge into one and I start forgetting. But yeah, it's crazy. I couldn't remember this one acronym because I was working on one project and then I couldn't remember the other project. I knew what I wanted to say. I just couldn't, the brain wouldn't get the acronym out. But anyway, I hope you guys all have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon. And I hope you guys are all getting through this COVID period. Man, I'm dying to go to a movie. You don't know. I'm so itchy. It's like I just want to go, but at the same time, I want to be cautious, so I am. But anyway, I probably won't see a movie. I want to see New Mutants like so bad. Like it's just that and have a big bucket of popcorn. I'm so tempted to go. I wanted to rent the whole theater, but then it would be just me and Barb and it'd be $180 and I don't want to go to a movie that bad. But if I was to wear a mask the entire time, maybe I'd do it, but then I can't have the popcorn. So it's just real world trouble, but I'd rather be safe. And that's where a lot of the circulation and these things happen because it comes from spittle, like little pieces of microscopic droplets, and air conditioning and stuff circulates that, and the more people that are around, the worse it is. And I haven't eaten at a restaurant in forever, but I mean we do get food takeout, but we haven't eaten. And that man, I want to go to the Japanese kitchen, and where they cook in front of you. I've been craving that like so bad. And then Buffalo Wild Wings I miss because I love the atmosphere and eating wings. And when you get them to go, it's not the same because, well, for one thing, they're so far away. But yeah, anyway, I hope you guys are healthy. I hope your loved ones are healthy. I hope you still have work and are able to work. And I just wish the best for all you. Take it easy, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.